Today is a day of recognition, celebration, challenge, and expression for many of our GLBTQ members and allies. We are here to commune in solidarity, to explore what it means to be a church family, and to offer gladness that our country and our communities are slowly coming to a place of safe acceptance for those of us who identify as non-heterosexual. And we know there's more work to be done. Together, we acknowledge the struggles of people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersexed, two-spirited, and queer. Together, we acknowledge and honor the plurality of names and phrases we use to describe ourselves. Together, we listen to the stories of those who have found and walked their path in a challenging world. Together, we hold hands in strength. And we look towards a promising future of free expression for all. May we experience this atmosphere as one of beautiful comfort and acceptance today. So, of course, all week I've been thinking about what pride means to me. And I keep thinking freedom. Freedom of expression. Freedom from shame. Freedom to tell the truth of what I am. Freedom to be. So exploring the concept of pride, I've noticed a very double-sided approach to the word. There's the virtue of pride, how we relish and exult in the capabilities and accomplishments of ourselves and our communities, like today. And then there's the vice of pride, the type of arrogance and vanity, the deadly sin. Given that it's a rainbow kind of day, it figures here I am adding a little black and white to the mix, right? But going a little further into my research on these contrasts, I started to think about what I view as the opposite of pride, which is shame. And it seems that pride in an idea, the notion that there's only one way to love, one way to do it right, one way to honor nature, God, and humankind, can become a vice, a terrible tyranny that brings shame on anything that looks, feels, or shows up as different. We learn early this shame, the thing put on us by an idea from outside, not from within. We're told things about our bodies, how they should look, what we should and shouldn't do with them, how we should properly represent this all-encompassing idea of what is normal. The idea of normal traps us into shame. Traps us into thinking we shouldn't follow what feels natural, but instead we should follow what is dictated to us from the outside. For example, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to phone boys. The only reason was because I was a girl, and girls did not phone boys. Also, men should control the finances and the budget on the home front. These were the statements passed on to me about my own value, my worth, my ability, these black and white parameters that disallowed me certain freedoms only and specifically because of my gender. And this was described as normal to me. But truthfully, it didn't feel normal at all. I imagined myself in the distant future with someone else doing the cooking, that's for sure. And I'll continue making my own dough, thanks. I did soon bust through these constricting walls of my family's values, not without being briefly disowned at 18 for falling in love with a girl. Everyone thought I was crazy, but I was just finally following my instincts. People were super relieved when I got married to a man and had kids the normal way, and everyone thought I was kind of cured. It was really very strange to spend a lot of years, almost two decades, sitting inside this heterosexual housewife paradigm, where surrounded by so-called liberal people who would be quite frequently casting subtle gay, trans, and lesbian slurs, insults they weren't even really aware that they were making. Meanwhile, I'm on the other end of the couch feeling really uncomfortable, thinking, hey, I'm one of those queers you're joking about over there. And many times I did speak up during those moments, offering up a quip about how I've always played for both teams. Silence. And then the questions. And as a mother, I've been desperate to flout the gender stereotypes cast upon my kids by normal society. I wanted both my kids to feel like they could put nail polish on their toes and fingers and feel beautiful. I dressed the girl in plaid and khakis and the boy in pink pants. He was laughed at more. Sometimes I even feel that my daughter may have it a little easier than my son because at least she can wear pants or a skirt without being looked at twice. At age 4, my son didn't know why everyone was guffawing so loudly at him when he said he wanted to marry his little boyfriend. And what we want is to raise children who feel safe being creative, safe in their joyous expression of their authentic selves, not children who are ashamed for coming forward in whatever way they're inclined. And we want to raise each other up in this safety, renewing and establishing it for each other in ways that have been lacking for all of us. I'm so grateful that I've found this place of freedom now, to be openly queer, to take it for granted that I'm totally accepted in that. But I still struggle every day with the detrimental effects of this heterosexual norm on my boy and girl, and on their vulnerable sense of pride or shame about themselves. And, you know, reflecting, I've found it rather difficult to find a lot of examples of stark black and white in nature, but the rainbow, there are infinite levels of color and variation. The rainbow is the real natural example of what we are, of what there is to behold, if you want to look. And I'm looking toward a society of true freedom, where each person feels pride in their style, their work, their accomplishments and goals, their representation of life itself, where all variations of expressing love towards self and other are honored and respected, not laughed at. A place where kids are free from the tyranny of an idea that says, it's like this and only like this, and you've got to be like this. So I'll be at the parade and the festival later today with everyone else here, moving toward and into that freedom with pride. I'd like to invite Scott to offer his spoken word poetry called Magenta.
Hi. Spoken word is a lot like, it's not, poetry doesn't have to rhyme, so if it doesn't rhyme, it bothers you. At slams, if you like what you're hearing, you usually snap. If you can't snap, do something else. I don't know, rub your hands together, I'm not sure. Yeah, lovely. This is the first one I've ever written, ever, and it's called Magenta. Every night, I sleep with ace bandages under my pillow, to remind myself the next morning that I am God's mistake to man. I don't believe in a God, but if they do exist, I want to have a long chat with them about their decision to make me with the wrong parts. I would like to honor all the people like me who were made with the wrong parts, and the box that they came in bears the bold lettered labels, assembly, required, and very fragile, because they can be shattered so easily by the way the world sees them. From the moment we're born, it's either pink or blue, and yet there are so many people out there who are a brilliant shade of magenta. They're in between pink and blue, not fitting into society's spectrum of gender. A lot of people don't understand the difference between your sex and your gender. Your sex is what's between your legs, but your gender is what's between your ears. We only have one heart, and I urge you to use it well and with great care, because there are people out there whose hearts have been bandaged over and over and over again until they're fit to burst with repressed emotions, until they're ready to shout out at the world. But sometimes they crumble, succumbing to the pressures of society, and they lose themselves. Because those ace bandages wrapped around that heart are crushing it into oblivion, leading it down a dark path into a secluded corner where it can hide itself away. Derogatory words are thrown around in casual conversation. When the discussion of the bent cousin turns into the one about the tranny that they saw on the bus that morning, how can I help them understand why I have pads in my backpack? And how can I help them realize why I have to use the special bathroom? And what words do I use when they accuse me of being a junkie at 14 when they see the box of syringes in the corner of my bedroom? Every night, I sleep with ace bandages under my pillow to remind myself that when morning comes, I will face the world with my heart in a sling.
Thank you so much, Scott. That was lovely. Now I'd like to call Dar Garrow Levy for our meditation and our message.
Breathe in. Breathe out. Settle yourself into a comfortable position in your chair and in this space. Jadora will soon begin to play the hymn, How Could Anyone, by Libby Roderick. I invite you to remain seated, to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so, and to listen or quietly sing along, however the Spirit moves you. I ask that you remain open and mindful, allowing yourself to become part of the communal energy that we are creating here in this space. At the end of the hymn, the sound of a single chime will mark the beginning of a minute of silent meditation or prayer. May you find connection and love in our sharing. Good morning. I have a confession to make. I'm not your average kind of woman. I bet some of you knew that already, eh? What gave it away? Perhaps my obvious accessory choice for this morning? How do you like my tie? Seriously, though, most of the time I don't even think of myself as a woman. I don't feel that I fit the stereotype or even the simple expectations and ideas that we all carry around in our heads about what a woman is. As an adolescent, I absolutely hated it when I was expected to wear a dress. And throughout my life, I've always had extreme discomfort buying women's undergarments of any kind. To this day, I've yet to buy my first swimsuit. After multiple attempts at trying to fit my unique body shape once more into something designed for a shapely female, I try to avoid such experiences at all costs. Shopping of any kind has and can be uncomfortable for me. I used to get angry at shop clerks who called me sir or directed me to the men's room when I asked for the bathroom key. What angered me was that their idea about what a woman was so narrow that it didn't include me. Now I'm completely thrown for a loop when somebody calls me ma'am or groups me in with the rest of the ladies in the room. In my past, I've been known to mask my discomfort on that point with a quip like, I'm no lady, ladies don't spit. Now that may be a bit crude, but for me, it somehow reaffirmed the masculine side of me that I felt was being ignored. Luckily, though, I've never had to develop a swagger. Besides, can you see me trying to do that now with this cane? It just wouldn't work, eh? So at this point, I bet some of you are now thinking to yourself, well, maybe we should be calling Dar a he. But that wouldn't do either. You see, because even though I've always identified with the knight in shining armor, and not in the least with the damsel he was rescuing, and even though I now buy all of my clothing, including my underwear, in the men's department, I don't think of myself as a man either, nor do I want to be known as one. All my life, with society's pressure to conform in one way or another, it's been something of a pendulum-like struggle for me to carve up my own place in the gender spectrum. When I came out in the early 80s, transgender wasn't an option. Sure, we had gay and lesbian, and we had bisexual, which at the time was thought of as being indecisive. There was transsexual, which was and still is a more clinical term referring to those who feel an unresolvable conflict between the sex they were assigned at birth and their gender identity. A transsexual may call themselves transgender, but not all transgenders call themselves transsexuals. And then there was transvestite, a now obsolete term referring to those who usually have no problem accepting their gender assignment, but enjoy dressing as the opposite sex. Think Tim Curry in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Butch lesbian was the best I could come up with, even though many of the feminist lesbians at the time believed that those who called themselves butch or femme were buying into the patriarchal system of mimicking heterosexual relationships and values. In hindsight, let's not be too hard on our sisters. They too were working to forge an identity separate from a system that dictated how they should be. And in many ways, they were the groundbreakers when it comes to an individual's right to be themselves. As a society, we simply had a lot to learn. Recently, I started to openly call myself transgender, finally claiming the name because I've come to accept that I can no longer fit into any of the predetermined gender and sexual identity boxes offered. Gender is not binary, but the pronouns we use are. They designate a person's sex, male or female, instead of having any relationship to where on the gender spectrum an individual may feel comfortable, except at the two opposite ends, male and female. If there was something in between he and she, that is what I would choose. But since it doesn't exist, I somewhat begrudgingly accept the use of the female pronouns. They're simply what I am used to. Please note, however, that this is my choice, and it does not reflect the personal choices or preferences of others who use the name transgender or trans to describe who they are. A good rule of thumb would be if you know somebody who identifies as trans, ask them what pronoun they prefer. I am certain that they would be grateful for your consideration. For me, though, it's always been something in between. Like Scott's poetry spoke about, I too am neither blue nor pink, but a beautiful shade of magenta. What I find interesting about my own journey is that it took a village for me to recognize and accept my own gender identity. In fact, this very village here. About 5 years ago, when I joined this community, I stopped struggling to be more this or more that, and I decided to simply let myself be who I am. There's something to be said about radical acceptance, isn't there? I mean, I really took to the idea that I am acceptable, lovable, and valuable, without having to be more feminine, more masculine, more lesbian, more feminist, more butch, more this or more that. All I have to be is just more me. Like so many others, I really needed to hear that message. We do such terrible things to each other and to ourselves with our preconceived expectations. And the thing is, when we don't grant ourselves or each other the freedom to be who we truly are, when we have to spend so much time defending our right to be who we might be, we don't actually get much opportunity to explore the potential of our true loving natures. One of our Unitarian Universalist messages is that we each carry a spark of the divine in us, that all we have to do is to be our true selves, and then that light and love inside of us will shine through. So while I was looking inward for that light and love inside of me, I stopped paying attention to the image that I portrayed to the world. And all those bits about my gender identity simply fell into place along with everything else. So many things about me that others might reject me for. My gender identity, my sexuality, how my past has shaped who I am and how I relate to people because of it. All the things that could otherwise derail a connection became irrelevant. Or I should say, as equally irrelevant and as equally meaningful as everybody else's personal bits that make them who they are. For the first time in my life, I felt that I belonged, despite and because of my differences. Like so many before me, I have found my face in this beloved, my place, excuse me. I found my face before. But I should actually read the words I've got here. Let me say that again. Like so many before me, I have found my place in this beloved community, and I feel like I am finally coming into my own. But not everyone has a community like ours. Not everyone is accepted and loved because of their differences. Far from it. For many, this world can be a cold and cruel place if you don't toe the status quo line. And especially so if you're young and trans. According to the Trevor Project, a North American organization working toward the empowerment of LGBT youth, suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people ages 10 to 24. LGB youth are four times more likely to attempt suicide than their straight peers. And nearly half of young trans people have seriously thought about taking their own lives, with one quarter reporting having made a suicide attempt. And according to Canadian Mental Health Association, these suicide attempts are not because of internal conflict, but a reaction to how these youth are being treated by their peers and society at large. Each episode of LGBT victimization, such as physical or verbal harassment or abuse, increases the likelihood of self-harming behavior by 2.5 times on average. Queer youth are not the only ones who suffer from social stigmatization and bullying, but I find it particularly sad to think that these young people, who otherwise could be full of glorious hope and expectation about their future lives, are feeling so desperate, so alone and ridiculed that they believe that the only way to end their suffering is to end their life. We all need to feel loved and accepted. Belonging is a basic human need. Without that grounding, we are desperately handicapped in our ability to become our true authentic selves and to learn to love who we are. Let alone come to understand the healing and connection we can find when we extend our loving beyond ourselves and our close circle of friends and family. Yes, things have been changing, especially here in North America, When it comes to LGBTQ people being accepted into the mainstream, we may think we have arrived. Marriage between same-sex partners is legal both in Canada and now in the U.S. as of June 26. Yay. And our church has been a welcoming congregation for years. Our ministers, Reverend Melora and Reverend Shauna Lingood, are a married couple with a family. Heck, you're listening to a lay service given by a queer who just spoke about her underwear preferences. We've come a long way. But there are still so many people out there in this world who need to hear that they are beautiful and acceptable just the way they are. As long as there are still people who need to hear that message, we still need to provide it. That's why we still have Pride. Every year in cities around the world, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender, genderqueer, intersex, and straight folks march together for each other and for those who still aren't able to. We come together as a chosen family in celebration of our diversity, of our acceptance of one another, telling the world that we are proud of who we are and who we love, and that we love each other despite and because of our differences. As long as there is hate in this world, we need to counter it with a message of love. For many, it still can make the difference of life and death. Let us make sure that our message can be heard loud and clear. Cyndi Lauper's original version of True Colors was playing on the radio in the clubs in 1986, and it was then one of my favorites. Sometimes old songs lose their meaning with the passage of time and with all that we attach to them. So I like it very much that Artists Against Bullying has breathed new life in this song. I think the meaning of these words are very relevant to the message we've been sharing with you here today. And so I would like to take this opportunity to read them to you now in closing. You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged. Oh, I realize it's hard to take courage. In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all. And the darkness inside you makes you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. Your true colors are beautiful, like a rainbow.